First Kings chapter 4 last week, First Kings chapter 3, talked about having getting the wisdom from God, Solomon known from wisdom. You go read First Kings chapter 4, you may have read it, and you see all these names in here and these lists, and then it ends with the joy that Solomon had and having the wisdom of God. When you read this, you think, well, what's all this in here for? God's got some things set up in order here for Solomon. He's got the right people in the right places. He's brought the right things into Solomon's life, into Solomon's kingdom, so Solomon can reign in peace. And we get the wisdom of God. Then God sets things up in order for us and puts the right people in our life that need to be in our life to help us. There's a lot of people listed in this chapter, and there's an order to these things and the places that they're in. And when we get the wisdom of God, God gives us that wisdom. God put things in order and put things in place for us in our lives. When we go on our flesh, then things don't work out too good for us, and we stay miserable and don't have joy. And when God saved us, we are to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And there's something that ain't right with us if we don't have that joy that's present there. And 1 Kings in chapter 4, the Bible says, "So King Solomon was king over all Israel. And there were the princes which he had, Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, and Eliareph, and Ahiah, the sons of Shisha, scribes." So he had people that scribes would write things down. "And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder." So you got scribes and you got recorders. And we'll celebrate 9 years as a church this October. And we've kept written records, history, and we got a recording of our sermons and our Bible studies and things that are on record, because I want to leave a history for the next generation, the next folks that come along. It so helps people to go back and glean from these things. "And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host, and Zadok and Abathar were the priest, and Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. And Zabud," look at that name in your Bible, Zabud. You ever heard a message preached on Zabud? You ever heard anything taught on Zabud? Well, who's Zabud? He just mentioned one. This name is just mentioned one time in the Bible. What would you think if your name was mentioned one time in the Bible? Just even not even your name, just reference to your name. That'd be a big deal, wouldn't it? If your name was recorded in the Word of God, that God Almighty thought so much of you to record your name in Holy Scripture, that would go. Heaven and earth will pass away, he said, but my word will not pass away. So every little name, every little genealogy, every little thing recorded in God's word is for a very, very specific purpose and intent. And Zabud, the son of Nathan. So Nathan, we know all about Nathan. What a man of God he was. A preacher, a minister to David during tough times, told David the truth. Was principal officer. That means he was over an officer. He was above an officer. And I got stuck right here. And the king's friend. And the king's friend. Now, all these names mentioned in here, they're not mentioned as the king's friend. But Zabud is mentioned here. The son of Nathan, a principal officer. He's mentioned here specifically. God points him out and says, this here is the king's friend. Friend. Now, friends. Why does God put relationships on us? Why does God put the husband-wife relationship, your daddy, your mommy relationship, your children relationship? Why does God put all these relationships in our life? Why does he do that for? He does this to teach us about himself. That's why he does that. Because when we go to heaven, those relationships will no longer be needed. Now we'll know each other, and we'll have this sin nature stripped away, and we'll be known even as we're known, and that love will be there and that present. You'll recognize me, and I'll recognize you. But the relationships that we have with each other is not needed over into heaven. But why does God, from the dawn of time, he sets up husband and wife, the children, your relationship with your children, your parents? He shows all that to show his nature, to reveal to us about him. With a husband and wife relationship, no other place in a man or woman's life can God teach us about mercy and grace and faithfulness and temperance, learning self-control and joy and love. No other place, folks, in your life. No other area of your life can God work those areas out in our life other than that bond between a man and a woman in a relationship, in a marriage relationship. God uses that relationship to show us about himself. And the man is to love his bride as Christ, he says, loved the church. And the woman is to reverence and praise her husband as we praise the Lord. I mean, that whole relationship is developed there because God teaches us about his nature. And then God utilizes the nature between children and parents, like your love that you have for your children and your grandchildren. He uses that relationship and because you can relate to that. And he says, as a father pitieth his son, you know, as a father pitieth his daughter, you know, the compassion that you have, the mercy that you have on your own children, God uses that relationship. And God uses a relationship as a friend. A friend. You know, there's only a couple people in the Bible, in the whole Bible, that God says is my friend. Now, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. But I wonder, when our life, as we go along life, we develop friendships, don't we, with people. We get friends with people. And there's different kinds of friendships. And Jesus, when Jesus walked this earth, he had different kinds of friendships with people. And there's basically three different types of friendships that we have with people. And the Bible says here that Zabud was a friend to the king. The friend to the king. I want to ask us this morning, what kind of friend are we to Jesus Christ? No other message that I ever preached, last week I preached that we really love Jesus, I felt such resistance in this church because we really don't love Jesus like we say we love Jesus. I felt such resistance preaching that message from people because it's easy to come here and say, oh Lord, I love Jesus, but when we really look at the scripture, do we really love Jesus like we say we love Jesus? I mean, it convicts me. I don't love Jesus like I act like I love Jesus when I look at the scriptures. No other message that I preach. I can preach on drunks. I can preach on come to church. I can preach on all these things. No other. I told Tyler this week, I said, no other message do you preach. And when you preach on loving Jesus and prayer, do you get such resistance from the people. I mean, just resistance, because it's convicting. And because when we're faced with that, when we're faced with that conviction, we want to make excuses and blame, and we want to project things, but we don't want to take responsibility. And all God wants us to do is say, Lord, I don't love you like I ought to love you. That's what was born in me as I studied that message. And when I studied this, can't get past verse 5. Zabed was a friend to the king, and I got to studying the friendships of Jesus, and I got to wondering, what kind of friend am I to Jesus? Moses was called a friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. That both those men that I just mentioned had a lot of mistakes in their life, had a lot of failures in their life. The Bible says in James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. In other words, God put it on him for righteousness, made him righteous, and he was called the capital F, friend of God, James 2:23. Zabed, the name Zabed means given. That's what it means. You look up his name, it means given. You look it on up, it means to endow yourself to someone. The man had given himself, listen to this, man had given himself to be a friend of the king. And so in our lives and in the life of Jesus, when Jesus walked this earth for 33 and a half years, what kind of friends did Jesus have around him? And what kind of friend am I to Jesus? What kind of friend are you to Jesus? Zabed was a friend to the king. I got stuck right here, locked in. What kind of friend am I? Well, in life, we got what's called casual friends. We just got casual contacts, don't we? We have occasional contact with people. We got a little bit of knowledge about them. And we know them, and they know us. And we're friendly to them, and they're friendly to us. And we know these people. You might work with these people. They might be on your holler or you, whatever. They might just be somebody in our lives. We'll have a little bit in common. What do you mean? Well, we all live in Eastern Kentucky. We have got a little bit in common there. And we can all relate to how we've all our culture, how we grew up. So there's a little bit of knowledge there. But there's casual contact with those kind of people. That's casual friends. Well, he's my, you know, I know him. You see him in Walmart. Say, hey, buddy, how you doing? How you doing? We know each other. But with that kind of friendship, with a casual friend, there's no accountability, are they, whatsoever with that. We're not accountable to them, and they're not accountable to us. We're not really going to put ourselves out for them. We don't really feel we need to put ourselves out for them. And likewise, they're not really putting themselves out for us, and we're just kind of just just casual contacts. You know, the Lord had casual contacts when he was on the earth. Luke 7:31, the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation?" He said, "What are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, 'We piped unto you. We've done something, but you ain't responded. Yet ye have not danced. We have mourned for you, and ye have not wept. For John Baptist, they came neither eating nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is coming eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." We know the Lord had casual contact constantly with sinners, with publicans, with Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees. But they really didn't want to go any further than that. They just wanted just casual contact with him, just to be around him a little bit. I'm afraid we got people like that with that are like that with our Lord Jesus Christ. Just casual contact with him. I don't really want to go too far with you. I really don't want to get to know a whole lot about you. No accountability whatsoever with me. And I'm not going to really give myself out much for you. I'm not going to endow myself out for much for you. Just casual contact. And the publicans and sinners were like this. They liked to be around him. They liked to hear his teaching. Some of them did. But as far as going any further with the Lord, they're not going to do it. I don't want to be that kind of friend to the Lord. Do you really want to be that kind of friend to the Lord? Just a casual contact. Matthew 22:2-12, Jesus told this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son." It's a big deal in that time. You had a marriage for your son. He made a marriage for his son. "And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they wouldn't come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage.'" The king really put himself out, didn't he? He really done a whole lot here. And he thought enough about this guy to invite him to the wedding. There were some people that you have a big wedding, and there's some people they just, you know, in that time, day and time, you couldn't house everybody. But if he thought enough about you to put himself out to invite you, I guess he was thinking it was going to come. "Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden. Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatlings, come into the marriage.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise." Do we make light of coming to the house of the Lord? Do we make light of prayer? Do we make light of living right? Do we make light of the Word of God? I mean, I do sometimes, a lot of times. Pray for me. I'm not where I need to be a lot of times. If you are, then that's good. But pray for me. But here we got just a casual, just no big deal. "And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." Now, why did they treat them spitefully? Why do people get aggravated at Brother Kevin for preaching God's word? Is it me? Why you get mad at me for preaching God's word? Just telling you God what God's book says. That's what they did, these fellas. "We don't want to hear it no more. Because it brings conviction, don't it? We're going to kill it." Ain't that what people do? "I want to kill it. Well, I'm going to pick at him." That's what you do, ain't it? That's exactly right. Instead of getting on the altar and saying, "God, I'm not right. This area of my life ain't right." We're not going to take responsibility, are we? That's just our nature. But we're not going to go nowhere with God. This is casual. Watch this here. "Then saith he to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy.'" They don't want to come. They don't want no more. "Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find them, bid them to the marriage.' So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good." I'm in that bad crowd. "And when the wedding was furnished with guests, and when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment." He wanted to be there. He wanted to be associated with it. But he didn't want everything to go along with being associated with it. Am I making sense to anybody? Amen. Just casual contact. "Oh, I want to live in victory. Oh, I want Jesus to be my friend." What a friend we have in Jesus. But just how much time we spend in prayer this week? How many time we spend in God's word? How many time we spend praying for somebody, getting a burden for this church service, getting a burden for lost people? Want somebody to be saved. God, listen to me. I told my wife this week, there ain't going to be nobody saved. There'll not be no victory until some folks get right with God. This lock is going to be locked down in here. That's just the way it is. It's going to be locked down in here. Just some folks just get some things right with God and quit being so stubborn and so rebellious. Amen, preacher. Amen. It's going to be locked down. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. For he stuck out like a sore thumb. He said, what's he doing here? And he saith unto him, friend. And called him a friend. Casual contact. He said, friend, how comest thou in here not having on a wedding garment? And you know what he had to say to the king? Not a word. He is speechless, what the Bible says.
Yep.
Just old casual contact.
Yep.
We got casual friends in our life, don't we? Just people we just casually see, we casually know. Do you think all them people that your friends on Facebook, do you think that's your friends? A lot of them's just casual contacts. Nosy around in your life, and you nosy around in their lives. Just casual contact. People in our life you work with, just casual contact. People in your family, a lot of them just casual. You have nothing in common. There's not a lot in common with somebody that you just have casual. You got enough in contact just to be friendly with one another, but it's just casual. Jesus had a lot of casual friends. I mean, he had a whole lot of casual friends when he was friendly to everybody. Now, we ought to be friendly to people. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you need to be kind and friendly to people. It wins people to Jesus a lot of times in our lives. But what kind of friend am I to Jesus? Am I just a casual friend? Zabeg was a friend to the king. A lot of these people weren't a friend to the king. I ain't listed as a friend. I want to be a friend to the king.
Amen.
So we got a casual friend. A lot of casual friends. A lot of casual friends he had. Then there's another kind of friends that we got. We got close friends. A little bit deeper than a casual friend. A close friend is a regular contact. You got more in common with each other. And you're sensitive to each other. What they like. What they dislike. You kind of know them a little bit better. And you open up more to a close friend. I mean, you're really not going to open up more to a casual friend, but you'll open up more, won't you, to a close friend.
Yeah.
But and there's limited accountability. I mean, they're going to hold you a little bit somewhat accountable, and you're going to hold them somewhat accountable with a close friend. And also with a close friend, when you go through a trial or you go through a sorrow, a casual friend come by, thank you. But a close friend, man, they come by you, you're glad to see them. I mean, it helps you. Man, thank you for coming. It helps you through a funeral, helps you through a sickness, helps you through some kind of difficulty in your life. That's a close friend. And we got close friends. Now, as you go from your casual friends, which may be a big list here, to a close friend, it gets a little bit narrower, don't it?
Yeah.
Jesus had close friends. He had some close friends, too. They was more than casual, but they was close. John 11:11. Here's a close friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha's brother was sick. Jesus spent more time in that house than any house.
Amen.
Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They was his friends. I mean, they was close friends of Jesus. And Lazarus got sick, and they sent for Jesus. And Jesus, you know the story in John 11. Jesus just kind of tarried around, and they got hurt at him. Because he wasn't there, they didn't see the big picture, just like we don't see the big picture many, many times. And so they're saying, look, Lazarus is going to die. And the Bible says in John 11:11, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend, here's what Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He's not dead. He said, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. He's dead. He's just sleeping. He ain't dead. He's our friend. He's our close friend. And he had that bond with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he had a lot of close friends. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. 8 of his disciples was close friends to him. Thomas was a close friend to Jesus. Andrew was a close friend to Jesus. I'm talking about his disciples. Judas was a counterfeit friend. He wasn't no friend of Jesus. He just getting what he needed to get. And you got them kind of, they're fake. They ain't them kind of friends. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But I'm talking about just casual friend. A lot of people have a casual friendship to Jesus. Everybody in Eastern Kentucky is saved. Everybody in Eastern Kentucky is right with God. They've got a casual contact with Jesus. Casual brush up with the Lord, with the church, don't they? That is casual with Jesus. There's no accountability. They're not tied to a local church. They're not faithful to their attendance. The church is the bride of Christ. That's what he says. How do you treat the bride of Christ is how you really think about Jesus. That's really the truth. If you run down the bride of Christ, you don't really care much for Jesus. You run down other things, you don't really care much. That's casual contact. But a close friend, a little bit closer. And in Luke 11, he said unto them, which, telling this parable about prayer, he said, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. Now, you're not going to go to a casual friend if you're really in need. Right. You'll go to a close friend, though, won't you? Amen. This fellow went to a close friend and said, look, I need three loaves. He said, for a friend of mine, another close friend of mine, is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. He said, you're my close friend, but I really can't do anything for you. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, and this whole parable is about prayer, yet because of his importunity or his persistence or his shamefacedness, he just, please help me. Please help me. My friend, he's got that bond. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He felt enough about this close friend that he had to keep on and on and on and on and on and on. Listen, I'm that close of a friend to him. He'll comfort me. He really won't hold this against me. And he's a close friend of mine. I'm going to aggravate him, but he's going to get over it, and we can still be close friends. There's a lot of people who's got a relationship with Jesus that way. And I wonder if this man, when he got his bread, if he went back and thanked his friend. I mean, so many times we want the Lord, want the Lord, want the Lord, till the Lord comes through for us, and then we just put the Lord on the shelf, don't we? Amen. Till the next tragedy comes along or till the next aggravation comes along. And that's a close friend of Jesus, ain't it? But that's not where we need to be. I've been in my life a casual friend of Jesus. I've been in my life a close friend of Jesus. But I want to be a committed friend of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to be somebody Jesus Amen. Can look down like he looked down at Abraham.
Amen.
And Abraham messed up, dear people. I mean, God went 12 years without speaking to Abraham. You do know that, don't you? He went 12 years without speaking to him. And then when he did speak to him, he said, Abraham, I got something for you to do. Take your son, thine only son. So when God did speak to him, he said, the thing that you love the most, I want it. But he didn't want Isaac, he wanted Abraham. I won't be that kind of friend to the Lord.
Amen.
Moses. Moses. Look what all Moses did, went through. God said, he's my friend. I can talk to Moses. I want to be that kind of friend. What kind of friend, listen to me, what kind of friend are we to Jesus? Now, Jesus had committed friends. There's a big difference in a casual friend and a committed friend. There's a big difference in a close friend and a committed friend. You'll have very, very few really, really, really committed friends. And Jesus has very, very few committed friends.
Yeah.
He really, really does.
Yeah.
There's very few going to commit to that level of commitment.
Hey.
Right here's where the rubber meets the road. Right here's why the church house is locked up. Right here's why we don't see sinners saved. Right here's why we don't see revival. Because we don't have that commitment to be a friend of Jesus that it takes to see those things move in our life. And it's a level of commitment. Close, watch this. A committed friend, you have close personal contact. There's a lot of accountability between there. The husband and wife, that's a committed friendship right there for life. A lot of accountability, close personal contact, a lot of level. That's why God uses these relationships. That's why we teach this stuff. God just don't do this just to, everything's got a purpose. And that's why these things are the way it is. Why do you think the devil attacks that home? Why do you think the devil tries to blur genders and do all this stuff? Because God uses these things he set up. He uses these things he set up to teach us about himself. Because he's so big and he's so vast, we can't understand him. So he uses simple relationships. He uses simple things to reveal his nature and to reveal how he is to you and I. Because we're like sheep. And sheep's the dumbest animal that they are. That's what we're like. We're like sheep. We don't know. We have limited understanding of God, limited understanding of the ways of God. And we know what God can do. He can do anything. I'm not concerned about what God can do. He can do anything. I'm concerned about what he will do and the ways of God.
Amen.
But a committed friend of Jesus. Zabad was a friend to the king.
Amen.
Thousands of people, Glenn, are mentioned in the scriptures tied with Solomon. Thousands of them. Thousands of people are mentioned in the scriptures tied to David, but who was David's committed friend? Jonathan. Was not. Jonathan. Zabad was a friend to the king. He was far more than a casual. Solomon wanted Zabad right here all the time because that level of commitment was there. Now, Jesus, he didn't have that commitment out of Andrew. He didn't have that commitment out of Thomas or Bartholomew. He had 12 disciples. One of them was a fake. And he had 8 that was close friends. They was close. But he only had 3
Amen.
That he was really committed. A level of commitment. Now, God loves you and God loves me. And God knows who's going to be committed to him and who ain't. Now, don't say God don't love you, because he does.
He does.
But God knows. He's a committed friend.
Yeah.
He's going to commit to me.
Yeah.
Now, what do you mean, a committed friend? A committed friend is somebody, man, you can count on them. Jesus loved them 8, but Jesus knew, I can't count on these boys. But I can count on Peter and James and John. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, this is the hardest time, the most pressure time in the life of our Lord, when he needed somebody to be with him, when he needed somebody. God shows us his heart right here. Now look what Jesus said. Jesus looked at them and said, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. Y'all stay right here. I'm going out here to Gethsemane, which is a place where they pressed olives. Pressure. Can you imagine? The pressure was on the Lord so much that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Can you imagine the pressure that was on him? He said, you all sit here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He took with them 3 people.
Yeah.
The other 8 he left there. He took with him 3 people that he say, I can count on. Peter and James and John. I can count on them to go with me. Now, we know the rest of the story. They're going to get out there, and there's going to be so much pressure on the Lord that even the 3 closest to him. And when you read the scriptures, it's always Peter, James. There's some people in the church. There's some people that the Lord can really count on them when the pressure's on. Some of them he can't, and he knows he can't. So he just sets them aside. I believe there's churches that they just set aside, or the Lord's removed the candlestick from. There's nothing going to happen in there because there's nobody in there committed to him. There's nobody in there he can count on to live right, to pray right, to be right. Amen. What kind of friend are we to the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of friend are we? Then saith he to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He asked them to be at a place where he was vulnerable. He was showing his heart to them. Them other 8 was back there doing their thing. But these 3 went a little bit further with him. He could count on them to go at least out there to him. And Peter's going to get so bold. Listen to this. We miss this a lot of times in Scripture. Peter's going to get so bold that when they bring them 350 Navy SEALs out there to arrest Jesus, Peter's going to pull a sword, try to fight them all by himself. Man, that takes boldness, don't it? I mean, Peter loved him so much. I mean, we criticize Peter for that. But Peter going to pull his sword, and he chopped off one of them's ear. I mean, he's full of boldness there. That's how much the Lord knew his zeal. It was wrong zeal, but he knew his zeal.
Yeah.
Because that's what kind of level of commitment, that's what kind of friendship that Peter had. Are we that kind of friend to the Lord? Are we that committed to him? And listen, it don't do no good to say, no, I don't do it. Just pray out. No, we need to put some action on it. We need to get serious with this thing, or this thing's just going to be locked up. We're not going to see nobody move. Your family ain't going to have victory. You're not going to have victory until we get real with God and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. And a lot of folks just casual. A lot of folks are close. But very few are just real committed friends. A committed friend, you can count on them. A committed friend like Peter, James, John, they'll come apart from the world. Matthew 17, here's another incident right here. Matthew 17, it's one of my favorite places. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. What? Look at this, folks. Peter, James, and John seen the transfigured Lord Jesus Christ. The Jesus that John saw in the book of Revelation, he took him in a high mountain. Now, I'm big and going up a steep hill's hard. Could you imagine how hard it was? Come on, boys, we're going to climb this mountain right here. No, he knew them other ones would just bellyache and complain and murmur. I'm not even going to go there with them. I'm going to take these three with me up there because they're going to come apart from where them other three was down there and they was getting made fun of. Them other eight was down there getting made fun of because a man brought his son to the church that was full of the devil, and ain't none of them could do nothing for him. That's at the end of this story when Peter, James, and John, Jesus come off this mountain. They're down there and they're getting made fun of. We're made fun of in the community because we can't do nothing for God. Because we don't have the commitment there. We don't come apart. These boys come apart from the world. Jesus took them to a place, and they seen things with the Lord that nobody else could see. Because they was a committed friend to the Lord. Are you there? Am I there? It ain't just good enough to say, well, I'm just not there. Oh, well, and go on about our merry way, and our children's going to hell, our families is going to hell, our communities is going to hell. I mean, we're going to do anything for the Lord, we're going to have to get honest and say, Lord, help me. If anybody's going to get saved, we're going to say, Lord, help me. Amen. Get me where I need to be. Amen. I don't love you like I ought to love you. I say I do, but I don't. I'm not a friend to you like I'm a friend to you. I'm not. I say I do, but you can't count on me. I don't come apart from the world. And there's limited accountability, right? And so he took them up there, and the Bible said, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias. Now these boys seen Moses and Elias 1,000 years after Moses was dead. They seen him up on the mountain with Jesus and recognized him. Yeah. I don't see nowhere in there where there's any introductions. Hey, this is Moses. They knew him. Amen. And you're going to know me, and I'm going to know you. Amen. When we get to heaven someday. Amen. But they came apart from the world. I'm talking about a committed friend.
Yep.
They loved Jesus so much, he could count on them. They loved Jesus so much that they could come apart from the world to be with Jesus. Now, here's another thing about somebody that's close with God, a close, committed friend to Jesus. In Exodus 33, verse 11, the Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face."
Yeah. Amen.
Don't leave it at that. There's a comma there. He said, "As a man speaketh unto his friend." God spoke with Moses. Now think about it. Let our minds get around this. God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And it was so much so that they couldn't even look at Moses.
Yeah.
They had to cover their veil. They had to cover his face with a veil. Because he had such glory on him.
Amen.
Because he had been to God. And God said, "I can talk to Moses face to face as a man talking to his friend." He couldn't talk to the rest of them that way. He couldn't talk to the 2 million in Israel. Matter of fact, he tried to talk to them. And they said, "No, we don't want to hear from him. We won't hear from you." And then they murmured every time Moses said something. That's the church right there.
Yeah.
Well, we won't hear from God. God said, "I called a preacher and put him up there. You don't want to hear from me." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Paul said, "I can't tell you what I need to tell you in God." He said, "Because you're so stinking carnal." He said, "I fed you with milk." He said, "I'll give you milk. I can't give you no meat." He said, "For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able." You can't take it because you're so carnal. You're so carnal. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you..." How do I know I'm carnal, preacher? Envying. Are you jealous? Are you jealous of people that get blessed? Are you jealous of people that's got some victory in their life? Are you jealous of people that's got joy? Are you jealous of people God's using? You're carnal. That's what the Bible says. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying." You're carnal. "And strife." Are you always full of strife? All time an argument, all time some drama. You're carnal. You're carnal. God can't speak to you as a friend because you're carnal. There's jealousies there. There's envyings there. There's always a little strife there. And divisions. There's three big things right there. Marks you if you're carnal. you jealous, you pick, you strife, and you divide up. You decide on one team. Young, we only got one team, dear people, Jesus, if we're committed to him or not. And Paul says, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? You know why the Lord can't communicate with us face to face as a man speaking to his friend? Because we're so carnal. We're so carnal. Oh, I pray, I want to hear from God. God gives a preacher a message. The preacher preaches it and you get mad at the preacher. Carnality. Carnality. Committed friends. Committed friends. I'm going to tell you, I've been there myself many times.
Yeah, me too.
A lot. I'm not where I need to be in my level of friendship with the Lord.
No.
And you're not either.
No.
Sorry, but you're not.
No.
Because if we really was what we ought to be with the Lord, we'd see more spiritual victories.
Yeah.
And we've seen some measure here, but it ain't good enough. I mean, it's just not, that ain't good enough. We need to have power here.
Amen.
Conviction here.
Amen.
The life-changing things here. The things that last for eternity here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But he could count on them. They could come apart from the world. He could communicate with somebody that was a committed friend. There's people, listen to me, and you know what I'm talking about. There's people that you have friendships with, you can't tell them the truth because they can't handle it. There's people in here, and there's people in my family, and there's people in my life that I can't tell them really the truth because they cannot handle it. They won't handle it because they're carnal. And that's the way God looks down at us. He loves us. He says, I want to help them. But they can't take it. I don't want to be that way to you. I want to be somebody God can use. Somebody can say, God, he's a committed friend. He's a committed. Here's another thing. Right here's the hard thing. Are we really a committed friend to the Lord? He can count on us. We've come apart from the world. He can communicate to us. But right here is the hard thing. Does he really have our complete obedience and trust? He said Abraham was a friend of God. Well, what was it about Abraham that made him a friend of God? What was it about Moses that made him, the two people God says is his friends in the Bible? What is it about Abraham and about Moses? And they had a whole lot of problems. I mean, Moses struck that rock twice. He never did get into Canaan's land. I mean, he killed an Egyptian and buried him. I mean, Moses done, he messed up. He got aggravated at the people. He complained. I mean, he just all this stuff. Abraham, he jumped out there and tried to help God, had a child, had an Ishmael, and that Ishmael caused him problems. But what was it about Moses and what was it about Abraham that God could talk to him? I mean, he could talk to him. He could communicate with both of them, could he? And he could count on them. He said, I know I can count on Abraham because he's going to have his family right.
Yeah.
Right, didn't he not? He said, he's going to command his family right. He said, I can count on him. He's going to get straight with his children. He's going to get straight with his wife. He's going to be straight about this thing. He can count on Moses, do the same thing. He can count on both of them to come apart, could he not? They came apart from the world. Moses was a prince in Egypt, had all the luxuries, came apart. Abraham was the richest man that ever lived on earth at that time. But he told the king of Sodom, he said, I don't want you to give me one shoelace. Why? He said, because I don't want the world to say you made me rich. I'd rather be poor is for the world to look at me and say Abraham's rich because of the king of Sodom.
Yeah.
So they come apart from the world. This world didn't mean that much to them. But here's the thing, it ties them together. They had complete obedience.
Dedication.
Complete obedience and trust, and dedication to God. We don't do it, do we? Abraham rose up early in the morning, Genesis 22, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I heard Brother Heath Williams preach a message on this last week down in North Carolina. Man, he brought out some good stuff in this. Abraham just really believed God. And Isaac believed in Abraham.
Yeah.
Had enough faith in his daddy that God was going to do the right thing. Does our children got enough faith in us? If we say we're following God, that they can say, I got enough faith in daddy, that daddy's following God? Man, that's something to think about there, ain't it? Because Isaac ain't no little five-year-old. He's a grown man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's following his daddy because daddy's following the word of God.
Amen.
Does our children, does our family got enough that they can follow us? We trust in obeying God enough they can follow us? Because, amen, I'll tell you right now, Abraham had complete obedience. Moses was a friend of God, had complete obedience. God could talk to him. They was committed. What kind of friend? Listen to me. What kind of friend are we to the Lord? Are you just a casual friend? Casual contact. Hey, God. Hey. Don't hold me accountable now. I'm not going to be accountable. Are we a close friend? I mean, that's a step above a casual friend, a close friend. But I'm not going to go that. I'm not going to really get committed with you. So when God needs to count on us for something, you just stay here. I can't count on you. I can't count on her. I don't want to be that kind of friend. I don't want God to look down and say, listen, I called in to preach. I've equipped him with certain talents, abilities, and gifts. I want God to count on me to do what I can do and be committed. He can count on me. I also be one God can communicate to me. God gives me something in the Bible and shows me something ain't right in my life that I repent and get it right. And don't make excuses and blame and project it on, because that's what we do. That's our nature. That's carnality. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, growing as a Christian is tough, ain't it?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's tougher not growing and getting beat to death by God. And not having the blessings of God. Now, right here's where we're at. We cannot have the promises of God. There's all kinds of promises for you and for me in this Bible right here. God promised us. You cannot have the promises of God or the blessings of God without keeping the principles of God. The Bible. Did you hear what I just said? You can't claim the promises of God. Blessings. God, give me blessings if you ain't keeping the principles of God.
Amen.
Cannot happen.
Okay.
Will not happen. God bless me, bless me. Are you doing what I've laid out to do? God bless me. You claim this in your Bible. God said, I did. I did claim it. I did say it's a promise. But are you fulfilling what else I've said in that Bible?
Amen.
Are you keeping the principles of that?
Yeah.
Amen.
They
don't sense of saying, God bless me. Bless me. I need some help with my money if you ain't doing right with your money right now. I ain't going to bless you with no money. I ain't going to bless you helping you in your money. God bless me with better health. Well, what are you doing with your health right now that you do have? God bless me to be more faithful. Are you faithful right now? Or where you at? Are you faithful? God bless me to have patience with people. Are you patient? God bless me with mercy. Are you mercy right now? Well, what he's already showed you with the light he's already give you, well, then he ain't going to give you no more. What? Where's our level of friendship with the Lord? Is it casual, close, or is it committed? I'm going to be a friend of the King, don't you? Zabad was a friend of the King. Let's stand this morning. I love you. I hope you get something out of this stuff. Helps me. God's good, ain't he, dear people? Brett, pray for us this morning.